I've realized as I reflect on this great privilege that I have of standing before you each Sunday, reflecting on one of these or some of these passages from Scripture, I have a tendency to sort of start off with a similar enthusiastic recommendation of that particular piece of Scripture. Like, wow, this is one of my favorite stories. At last count, I have 147 favorite stories. And then I looked at the Scripture this week and decided to make it 148. Now this is an absolutely great piece of Scripture, a great teaching of Jesus. And it may not be so good for you, but this one works for me. This may not be the piece of Scripture that changes the course of human direction. This may not be the piece of Scripture that reveals God to us in some new way. This may not be the piece of Scripture that brings light to the darkness. But this, my friends, is the piece of Scripture that makes bacon possible. Yes, this is the piece of Scripture that declares all foods unclean. Pork chops, ham, pulled pork sandwiches, and bacon. I love you, Jesus. This teaching and discourse come from Jesus is one of his many standoffs with the Pharisees and scribes, whom I think today sound a lot like a lot of elementary school teachers getting ready for this week as they start school. Wash your hands before lunch. This, as Jesus and his followers weren't really keeping with the Jewish traditions according to these Pharisees. And so the Pharisees were asking this question, why are they not washing their hands? But Jesus, as he so often does, turned the conversation away from this little thing and made it something bigger, bringing up a much bigger question than the one that was immediately before him. And in many ways, I think this is a great way for us to approach our faith. You know, if we get bogged down in some of the little nitpicky details, we might miss the big picture and the greater story that God is calling us into. What the Pharisees are talking about is this one little rule. And what Jesus talks to them about is a way of life. Jesus quotes a little Isaiah at them. The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. And then follows it up with his own critical interpretation. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. So we sit here on this traditional Labor Day weekend, at the traditional end of summer, in this very traditional-looking church building, in a faith that is based very much on tradition. And I want to spend a little bit of time rethinking tradition and what it means for us as we live our lives following God. And I warn you traditionalists out there, it ain't going to be pretty. Now, tradition is a wonderful starting point that reminds us of what was and what has come before. Tradition connects us to our history and to our past in a powerful, meaningful way. Tradition informs us of the things that have kept us safe. Tradition provides a guideline and structure. But tradition needs to be the starting block that launches us forward, rather than the anchor that holds us back. Tradition needs to lead us where God wants us to go, rather than something that lets us justify why we're staying right here where we are, where we feel kind of safe and kind of comfortable. My biggest complaint about tradition is that it makes you stop thinking, and it limits creativity.
It's about what was, not what could be. Now, we live in this world of God's glorious creation, and creation is an ongoing process as God reveals God's self to us in new and exciting ways. Now, yes, traditionalists might say that God created the world in 6 days, and then traditionalists would say he rested on the seventh day. But creation is not over. God may have rested on the seventh day, but humanity that was created in God's image hasn't. We continue to create and modify using all that God has given us. And if we were created in God's image, then part of what we are called to do is to continue that creation. Every new invention and every new idea that changes our way of life has been an affront to tradition. Some religious orders and sects reject many, many modern conveniences for this very reason. I find it sort of fascinating that somehow the wheel that was created by humankind is okay to use, but not the automobile, if you think about some traditional religious sects. And what the truth that this speaks to is that each of us have a line. Where do we draw the line? We all have one between what traditions we have to hold on to and which ones we're willing to accept to make things different. And I'm not for a minute advocating that all creation is good and that everything it ever invented is a boon to humankind. I'm only saying that creation is ongoing. And in that creation, God is continually revealed to us in new ways. We have new understandings that we have to react to and reflect on. The world is constantly changing, and we are called to change with it in our perceptions and in our actions as we react to this ongoing creation. It's a glorious thing. But it's a heck of a lot harder sometimes than holding on to tradition. Again, tradition is a wonderful, wonderful starting point to remember. But it's a place to move forward from rather than a place to go back to. And Jesus' knock on tradition in this passage today is about where tradition is and is not rooted, what its foundation is. His knock on the Pharisees is that they were teaching human precepts as doctrine. Now, this is one of the great challenges for religion, for any religion, as we try to interpret what God is doing and make our rules. And many of us in this room are former Roman Catholics, this church that to this day and was founded on this incredible love for Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done in the world. But as many of us look at some of their practices, at some of their traditions, it makes no sense to us. Are these things of human origin? Are they of God? Who said that only men can be priests? Who said that some people are infallible? What happens when we get too wrapped up in tradition is we stop thinking. It's a story, it reminds me of the story of my family at Thanksgiving. Now, my mother doesn't like to cook. She's a creative, brilliant woman, but cooking is not her strong point. So when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's like set menus since the pilgrims came over in the Mayflower, this is what we're serving. Well, the year I got ordained, it was over Thanksgiving weekend, so the family had to come out to New York for this whole thing, and I got saddled with the responsibility of making Thanksgiving dinner. So I polled my siblings about what they wanted, and then as we sat down at the Thanksgiving table, I looked, and I had one of those dull moments. I had forgotten the traditional mashed turnips. No, my sisters and brother had not requested them. And so I got down on my knees and pleaded with my parents, please forgive me, your oldest son, for not making the mashed turnips. My mother's like, I hate those things. My dad's like, why do we have those? For 40 years, I was subject to mashed turnips, and nobody likes them because of tradition. Tradition lets you stop thinking, but God always makes you think. God pushes us to see the world in new ways. We have to question whether the tradition that we follow is for our own comfort and convenience, or is it of God? This passage from Mark that we read today goes on to talk about what defiles us as humans, what makes us less. Jesus says it's not about what goes in, but about what comes out. And as I think about the hateful speech that seems to sometimes permeate our society, the nasty speech that is part of this current political environment on both sides of the aisle, I realize that so much of this political discourse and hateful stuff is based on tradition, not on love. It's based on human precepts, not on God. Tradition closes us down while love opens us up. And any kind of discrimination that has ever happened is based on tradition. We don't let those people do these things. Whether those people are women or African Americans or LGBT people or the poor people or Muslims or whatever it is, we constantly discriminate based on our human precepts of tradition. We are better than that. We need to be better than that. Jesus calls us into a tradition of love and openness that's more challenging, but more life-giving. If you think you know the traditional answer, you may be in trouble. But if you're still seeking the answer, there's a lot of hope. Jesus was not and is not particularly concerned with our comfort in all of this. The truth is more fluid than any of us want to imagine. We're challenged by God to see the world in new ways. Tradition, at its best, lets us know where we've been. Tradition, at its worst, keeps us trapped there. God is constantly calling us into new things, whether we like it or not. And we're at the beginning of September, and September is so often the beginning of new things in so many ways as people go back to school and the patterns of summer are gone and new rhythms begin. And we each are challenged to think about what we are going to do differently. What are we going to do differently to understand the commandment of God as we know it, as we hear it? What traditions do we need to let go of? How are we going to explore what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be? What are the spiritual enrichment things that are going to keep us thinking? Trust me, whatever you find, it'll be better than turnips.